Hey, I'm Andy.
I'm Andy.
And you're listening to the HMR Podcast. Over 10 years ago, I set myself the challenge of building my own property portfolio. And what began as a short-term investment plan soon became a long-term commitment to change the way young people live together. I've now built several successful businesses, I've raised millions of pounds of investment, and I've managed thousands of tenants. Join me and some very special guests to discover the tips, tricks and hacks, the ups and the downs, the best practice, and everything else you need to know to start, scale and systemize your very own HMO portfolio. Now.
Today, I'm going to answer the big question, the question that I get asked possibly more than any other, and the question that I see cropping up in the community more than any other. And that is, of course, what is the best location? Where is the best place to invest in HMOs? Well, today, I'm going to answer that question once and for all on the show, and I think the answer might surprise you. If you want to find out, make sure you stick around. Please sit back, relax, and enjoy today's episode of the HMO Podcast.
Hey guys, it's Andy here. We're going to be getting back to the podcast in just a moment, but before we do, I want to tell you very quickly about the HMO roadmap. Now, if you're serious about replacing your income, or perhaps you've already got a HMO portfolio that you want to scale up, then the HMO roadmap really is your one-stop shop. Inside the roadmap, you'll find a full 60-lesson course delivered by me, teaching you how to find more deals, how to fund more deals and raise private finance, how to refurbish great properties, how to fill them with great tenants that stay for longer, and how to manage your properties and tenants for the future. We've also got guest workshops added every single month. We've got new videos added every single week about all sorts of topics. We've got downloadable resources, cheat sheets and swipe files to help you. We've got case studies from guests and community members who are doing incredible projects that you can learn from. And we've also built an application just for you that allows you to appraise and evaluate your deals, stack them side by side and track the key metrics that are most important to you. To find out more, head to the hmoroadmap.co.uk now and come and join our incredible community of HMO property investors.
Okay, welcome back. So today I'm going to answer the big question, the one that everybody wants to know the answer to, and the question that I've probably answered already more than any other, but it still keeps coming up in the community and I still keep being asked it. And that's absolutely fine. Lots of people are finding their way to the HMO market, which is great. And of course, they want to know the answer to this question. So I thought I would do an episode on it today to answer it once and for all. But it's going to be a shorter than usual episode because I think that this is a pretty straightforward one to answer. However, full disclosure, I think the answer is going to surprise you. Now, if you are a regular listener of the show, you probably know by now that I'm not going to give you the answer in the first minute of the show. I'm going to make you wait a little bit longer, but there is a good reason for that. And that is because, like I said, the answer is going to surprise you. But to understand why the answer is what it is, we need to discuss a few things. We need to explore a few ideas. And I think it's this that people are really missing when they ask this question, okay? And actually, when I see the question being answered as well, sometimes I cringe because this sort of stuff is just being missed out. So, what is the best location? Where is the best place to invest in HMOs? What are people really asking when they ask this question? Well, I think we can all probably agree that people want to know, where can I make the most money, right? Where is the best place in the UK to make the most money on HMOs, right? Do you think that's fair enough? I think that is what most people are asking and what most people want to know. So I guess it's things like cash flow. It's things like yields. It's things like return on investment, right? Those are the sorts of financial metrics that we're generally speaking about, that we're thinking about when we're trying to assess the performance, when we're trying to consider where we're going to get the very best return. And there are a few things that on a micro level will influence this, aren't there? Let's just run through these now. We've got things like the rental demand. We've got things like property values. We've got things like the supply. We've got things like the average rents in the location, okay? All of that stuff is definitely going to impact the performance of a HMO. And we need to understand that stuff from the outset. So it serves that we should be experts in that local market, right? We really should know that granular detail. And every location, every sort of town and city is different and behaves differently. And it's because of these things, and it's also because of other economic factors, things like employment rates, things like whether or not there's a university there or large employers, what sort of infrastructure programs are happening. All these things start to impact the viability and potential performance of a HMO deal. So we need to understand this stuff and there's so much variability when you really get into the weeds of it. There are also other things as well on the ground level, on a very sort of location-specific level that will influence our deals. And it's things like local regulations. Article 4 directions is a good example, isn't it? We've also got things like licensing requirements. Different locations, different townships, different authorities have different license requirements. This can change how your deal, the performance might actually look. It can vary from region to region. At the end of the day, all of this stuff can impact the profitability and, I suppose, the operational complexity, which usually just washes out as cost. So, look, on the ground level, there are obvious things that we are probably all aware of. Things that the spreadsheet's going to spit out and we can make a decision on. Fine. And I think that this is the bit that most people want to know the answer to. Where in the country provides the best results on paper, on the spreadsheet, right? But stick with me, because the real question is, how important is that actually to you? Let me explain. As an investor, you will probably have your own goals and your own objectives, things that you've thought about for a while, things that you want to do and achieve, things that you perhaps want to escape. We've all got our own profiles, right? Whether you're a new investor or a seasoned investor, that is going to be quite different. As an example, my priority right now isn't necessarily cash flow from my HMOs. It's definitely a priority, but it's not the single most important priority. Actually, what I'm looking for is a balance between cash flow and capital growth and being able to continue managing my HMOs in a very consolidated fashion. But in my early 20s, my goal was absolutely cash flow, cash flow, cash flow, cash flow. I wanted the best possible returns on my money that I could get. I wasn't really thinking about these other things at all. And that's just a variation between sort of me now at 37 and me at early 20s. Your objective might be quite different, okay? You might be chasing capital appreciation more than anything else because perhaps you've got a really successful business that already chucks out a lot of cash in the background. And perhaps it's the complete opposite. Perhaps you're looking for that balance. Those are just some variations from investor to investor that we really ought to think about. And we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that that question, you know, what is the best location to invest in HMOs? It should really speak to us. And we have to be careful when we're asking other people. And you can probably see now where I'm starting to go with this. We've all got differing levels, haven't we, of financial resource and time and experience. These things also impact the deal, okay? These things also will have an influence on where the best location for us is going to be to invest in HMOs. Do we have what's required to undertake a large development project? Or are we better suited to perhaps targeting something that's a bit smaller, that might be just a bit better yielding, okay, when it comes to management? Do we have what is going to be required in terms of time and skill and experience to actually manage the HMOs at the back end? We've got to be careful with this stuff because actually that and the cost of that is going to directly impact the performance on the spreadsheet. And you can see as we start to step away a little bit just from the obvious yields and cash return and things like that in a particular area, these other things that are a bit more investor specific start to impact the deal. But there are more, okay? Let's think about location. I live in the north of England. I live in Sheffield at the minute. And the idea of investing in HMOs in the southwest is really not that appealing. Even if you told me right now that that is the location where you will get the very best returns on HMOs, it's probably, for me, on a personal level, actually just not going to make sense. And when I start to factor in some of the things that necessarily don't belong on the spreadsheet, such as the time it will take me to travel, the cost it will take me to travel, the sort of systems and operations and processes or additional management I will have to put in place and pay for to travel, or because I'm this far away, all that's going to start to impact and quite significantly on my deal. Let's talk about risk profile. You might have quite a different risk profile to me. I have probably got a risk profile somewhere in the middle. I mean, I drive a Volvo, right? So it probably tells you all you need to know about me. But when I was younger, I was prepared to take greater risks. Now, I do take some big risks in parts of my portfolio. With my HMOs, I don't really like to take that much risk. Actually, with my HMOs, I like to get and do what I know and I've done time and time again and just rinse and repeat. I'm not taking any huge risk. I'm not buying anything and hoping to God that I get planning permission within the Article 4 direction. I'm just not prepared to take those sorts of risks. I take very calculated approaches to things. And that does largely influence what and where I invest. Your risk profile might be quite different. You might have quite a high risk profile that might suit your investment strategy. You might have other investments that you can offset that higher risk against, or equally, your risk appetite might be quite low. You might be quite anxious and afraid and worried about getting it wrong and potentially losing money or not making enough money on a deal. There's no right or wrong here. It's absolutely fine. It's very much about you as an investor. And it's starting to marry the objectives of the deal or the deals that you want to buy with these sorts of features and factors that build your investor profile. Let's talk more about experience. I've got a lot of experience doing this, so there's very few things in the HMO industry that faze me whatsoever. But if you're just getting started, actually, there's a lot of unknowns and a lot of uncertainty. But more than that, there's more scrutiny. You might want to consider doing a particular type of project that means you're going to have to do a large extension, maybe a kind of hip to gable extension, out the back, something like that. A lot of work. And actually, if you haven't got any experience of doing any of this whatsoever, and you're going to rely on the bank because your resources, you don't have that financial resource that we just mentioned, you don't have all of that in cash, you're going to rely on the bank, that bank is going to scrutinize you. That bank is going to look at whether or not they think you are going to, in all likelihood, be able to do this project in the time and for the cost that you're proposing. And you might find that a little bit tricky. It is hard to do certain types of projects without the experience of having done it before. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it is harder. It's more expensive. That all then starts to impact the deal, okay? So it's really, really important. The desirability, whether or not you want to self-manage, is also going to impact the location and what the best location is for you. I like to keep all my management consolidated, but I'm happy just self-managing. You might want to do the same. But what does that mean? Well, it probably means you need to invest quite close to home, right? If you're not that bothered about managing yourself, if actually you're prepared to pay the management costs and factor all of that into your deals, or maybe even you need to because you don't have the time to do it yourself because you've got a very busy job and things going on at home and stuff like that. Again, nothing wrong. There's no right or wrong here, but you need to very carefully consider who is actually going to manage your HMOs for you. Now, this might be an easy decision if you're in a big city center, if you're central, if you're in somewhere with kind of an Article 4 direction, a lot of maybe student and professional housing, you're probably going to find it quite easy to find an agent to manage your properties for you. But if you want to come away from those prime zones, if you want to go out more so into the peripheries, into smaller townships, it's not necessarily going to be the case that there's an agent there with the experience or ability or capacity to manage your HMOs. Even if that's where other things in the deal profile work for you, even if that's where the property values look quite good, and even if that's where you think the rents look quite good, and even if that's where you can find some good buying opportunities where you can genuinely add some value, which can be a bit trickier within the Article 4 direction. Well, if you're out there, yeah, all those other bits might make sense. They might be doable, but if there's no one to manage it and you are going to rely on someone to manage it because you live several hundred miles away, that is going to be a problem. And that is something that you very much want to think about when considering where is the best location to invest in HMOs. So you can probably see now how all of these things actually start to maybe change the way that you look at a deal. And they will certainly change the way that the deal comes out in the back end, even if that's not necessarily how the spreadsheet looks at the front end. I often say to my mentees, and I've said it a number of times on the podcast, and I've covered videos on this stuff inside the HMO roadmap, but there's two parts to a deal. There's the bit that lives on the spreadsheet, the really black and white stuff. It's the numbers that go in and the numbers that come out. Yes, you've got to make some sensible assumptions, and yes, you need to stress test that, but it's pretty black and white. As long as you don't feed shit in, you shouldn't get shit out of that spreadsheet. Okay, if you're sensible about your numbers, you should have a good indication of what that performance will actually look like. But there's the off the spreadsheet piece that you have to do. There's a big piece of analysis that has to happen off the spreadsheet. You just simply cannot put this in. It's subjective data as opposed to objective data. It's this stuff. It's how much you have in terms of time and cash to actually put in deals. It's whether or not you have the experience to do the sorts of projects that you would like to do that would create the sort of value uplift that you would like to get to be able to recycle enough cash out. It's actually being pragmatic enough to explore and take that into very serious consideration. It's about whether or not you want to travel those sorts of distances. It's about whether or not you're going to be prepared to do it in 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 years' time, okay? You have to actually think ahead of just the here and now. It's whether or not you will have the ability to have someone manage them for you. Are these going to be in a location where you can actually put a sensible manager in place, someone who can actually do it, has the experience and can deliver the results? That's going to influence the deal. All of this stuff is going to heavily influence your deal. Risk profile. Sometimes if you want to add value, you have to take a little bit more risk. You have to buy unconditionally if you need planning. Sometimes you've got to do bigger refurbs. You know, generally the scale of economies is going to help you get a bit more out of the deal in terms of capital uplift. That capital uplift can help you recycle more of your capital out of the deal. So all of this stuff does, of course, start to impact your deal, but it lives off the spreadsheet. So we've talked about some regional characteristics, how every area is just different, and that's more so the objective data. We've talked about some investor-specific details as well, the more subjective information that kind of lives off the spreadsheet and how that will impact your deal. And what I thought it would be good to do is just give you a couple of examples to just make this a little bit more tangible, to give you some context to what we're talking about here. I think we would all probably agree that the further north you go, the cheaper the property values tend to be, right? Northwest, property values are generally lower than they are in the southeast and central London and the south, southwest. I think that that's fair enough. Although there are obviously anomalies across the country. So it's not the case. We can't just blanket the country with that thesis, but generally speaking, that is how it is. I often speak to a lot of people. A lot of my sort of clients, my mentees, live in the south. They live in areas with quite expensive property values. And they might have a certain amount of capital. And it's quite clear that if they want to invest that capital in the north, it's going to stretch a little bit further. There's no doubt about that whatsoever, right? But the other thing that we've got in the north is slightly lower rental values, okay? Rental values are definitely higher in the south and the southeast and the southwest than they are in the north and the northeast and the northwest. There's no doubt about that whatsoever. So whilst we might be able to spread our capital a little bit further, or we might think that we can get a slightly better cash yield or cash sort of return on our investments in the north, which is probably the case if you were just to take something off the shelf, it's not actually quite as simple as that. I recently judged category for residential to HMO for the HMO Awards. And it was really interesting because I saw deals from all over the country. And I've worked with people who've been doing deals all over the country for the last 5 to 10 years. So I have a lot of experience looking at deals and analyzing different locations all over the UK. And I think what a lot of people don't necessarily understand is that high value areas can also work really well as well. Now, the great thing about high value areas is that often you can find more opportunities to add more value, okay? Because the numbers are a little bit bigger, you can just add a bit more at the back end. The amount of capital that you can physically pull out of deals can be better. But to do that, to get into those sorts of deals, you're going to have to put a lot more capital in on day one, okay? You're just going to be buying properties, generally speaking, that are more expensive than you would do in the north. So you need more cash. In terms of financial resources, you're going to need more. You're also going to need to leverage some scale of economies, okay? To get that capital uplift, you're really going to have to do much bigger conversions and extensions. You're going to have to do a lot more work. So obviously that's going to require more cash. If you're going to require cash from the bank, that's then going to bring your experience into question, okay? It's also going to be something that might take longer and require a lot more planning. So then your time requirements come into play as well. Now, what's really interesting about more expensive locations around the country is that they tend to have much higher rents as well. The average rent tends to be much, much higher. We've had some great guests on the show doing stuff in the Southwest, in central London, even in Canary Wharf. And in some cases, they're able to charge over £1,000 for bedrooms. In Sheffield, for example, you'd be lucky to get £500, and that would be all singing and all dancing, really, really good quality accommodation. In the south, you can get so much more. So if you can squeeze 6, 7, 8 bedrooms at £1,000 plus per month into a HMO, actually the return on your investment can start to look very, very interesting. But to get something to that sort of level, you need to leverage the scale of economies. You've got to put a lot of capital in. You've got to do a lot of work to transform a property into something like that. You probably have to go through planning. You've got to put more time and effort into all of that process. However, at the end of the day, you might be able to get more capital out of the deal and a better return on any capital you have remaining in the deal than you can do anywhere in the north or the northwest, even though on the face of it, deals in the Northwest are cheaper and look like they will give you a better yield, which is absolutely the case. So you can see how it really is quite different depending on where you're looking. It's really hard not to make too many assumptions. The assumption generally is that go north because you're just going to get more out of your deals. And I'm here to tell you today that that's actually not the case. So I've probably confused you even further if you were thinking something along those lines. And I guess what I really want to do today, and what I hope I've done today, is just explain that actually, whether a deal is good or bad, or whether it's the best possible deal or the best location, really boils down to you. Okay, the answer to this question is different for you, for me, and for every other investor. And to be able to answer it accurately, you need to thoroughly understand not only what is going on a granular level in different locations, but you also need to know where you are currently at in terms of resources, in terms of what you don't have, the limitations, strengths and weaknesses, and also what you are prepared to do for it. Okay, what sort of a risk are you prepared to take? Are you prepared to sacrifice and actually self-manage or not? All these other things that build your profile as an investor heavily influence where the best location is actually going to be. If this podcast has confused you even more, I want to give you some advice. The reason it's confused you is because you don't quite know what you want to achieve. What you need are some very clear and very specific objectives to work to. So let me give you an example. If I was to look at my investment profile and like investment criteria, I would probably say that my minimum sort of gross yield that I'm prepared to accept is 10%. My minimum net yield that I'm prepared to accept is 4%, once leveraged at 75%. My minimum cash flow per month per room is £250 cash flow per month per room. And there are other bits and pieces like return on capital employed that I will put in there as well. So I would like to see a minimum 20% return of my capital employed, okay? Now, yours might be quite different, and that's absolutely fine. You might need to see 50% of your capital return. You might need to see a 12% gross yield, or you might be prepared to accept an 8% gross yield and a 2% net yield and £200 net cash flow per month per room. It doesn't matter, but it has to be right for you, okay? It's all got to help align and get you to your longer-term objective. And I find that most people asking this question don't have that. They don't know what they are actually trying to achieve. They're trying to pick the location first and then decide what they want to achieve. When really, what we need to be doing is designing our business, designing our portfolio, and reverse engineering it from there. What I do with my clients, with my mentees, is I work that out with them. We do a full strategy session, really focusing on what it is that they want to achieve. What do you want that business and profile and portfolio of your assets to actually look and behave like? And we start to work backwards, right back to the here and now. Okay, what have we got? And what sort of strengths and weaknesses and limitations have we actually got? What are we prepared to compromise? What are we not prepared to compromise on? And with that, we build a plan. Okay, and the plan gets us from here, where we are now, to where we want to be. Sometimes there is some trial and error. Sometimes we have to look at some locations and find, actually, yep, that location, unfortunately, just doesn't quite work. And sometimes we find it quite surprising. Actually, when we get into the detail and we look at examples and we test it, we see that some locations that we really didn't think would work, work really well. And in some cases, they have been very expensive, very high value areas. And sometimes where we think it's going to work, where the property values are a bit lower and there's a good HMO demand, they simply don't work because the returns on capital employed and things like that are just not high enough. So all of this stuff is really, really kind of important and heavily influences what you actually do. But that is why ultimately the answer to the question, what is the best location? Where is the best place to invest in HMOs? Is different for everybody. Quite simply, there's no silver bullet. It's just different for all of us. And you need to think about this when you're asking this question or if you're seeing this question be asked. Don't worry about what other people think and say and are doing. You have to do what's right for you. And to do that, you have to understand first and foremost what you're trying to achieve. So if you're sat here and thinking, actually, yeah, I don't really know what I'm trying to achieve. I don't know what my minimum cash return is. I don't know what my minimum yields I'm expecting are. I don't know what my minimum acceptable tolerance for return on capital employed or ROI actually are, then you have an awful lot of work to do. If you don't know whether or not you're prepared to self-manage, if you don't know whether or not you're prepared to travel, if you don't know whether or not you could take on the sort of refurb that you might require to do these sorts of bigger projects, if you don't have that sort of risk profile, then you need to stop, you need to pause, and you need to build your plan. You need to put your goals and targets and objectives down on paper, put it all into a business plan, and actually get some clarity on what you are trying to achieve. And only then can you determine where the best location for you to invest in HMOs actually is. So there we go, guys. I told you that the answer would probably surprise you, but hopefully you understand why that is the answer, why I can't just simply pick a point on the map and tell you that that is the best place in the UK to invest in HMOs. It's just simply different for all of us. So I really want you to take that away today. And if you've not got the clarity, if you just don't know what you're trying to achieve, please do go and do that work, because I promise you, once you get your head around this, you can really focus and it gets much easier to then go and pick the right location for you to invest in. That's it for today's episode, guys. Thank you for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you found it useful. I hope you found it encouraging. I hope it's given you some guidance and insight. If you're enjoying the podcast and I've got 30 seconds to spare, please leave a quick review. The show helps more than you could possibly know. It helps continue to spread the message about all the great work that you guys out there in our community are doing. You can leave a review on Spotify and on Apple Podcasts. So if you get time to do that, thank you so much. If you want to find out more about how to actually build your plan, if you want to learn more about yield, about cash flow, about location, about choosing various tenant demographics, everything that you need to know to help you build the plan that we've talked about in today's episode, it's all waiting for you inside the HMO Roadmap. Just head to thehmoroadmap.co.uk, find our navigation tab for leveling up, and under there you'll see our access and sort of e-learning page to the HMO Roadmap. Over 60 step-by-step lessons walking you through how to find deals, how to fund them, how to fill them with great tenants, how to refurbish them, how to refinance them, how to manage them. We've got over 100 lessons from experts in our industry, masterclasses showing you everything you need to know, teaching you everything you need to know about things like architecture and design, planning consultant, building regs, interior design, lots of cool stuff. We've got the deal stacker in there. We've got over, I think, 70 case studies from community members now showing you and sharing their incredible deals, which, by the way, are all over the country. Gives you some insight into what's going on in different locations. It's all there waiting for you. And it costs you less than a cup of coffee every single day. That's it, guys. Thank you once again. And don't forget that I'll be right back here in the very same place next week. So please join me then for another installment of the HMO Podcast.